to thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answeredst me and strengthenedst me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord.
Yes.
Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me.
Thank you.
The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. We give you all the glory, Lord.
Praise.
We worship you today.
Hallelujah.
We worship you with our whole hearts, Jesus. We praise you, Lord.
Glory
we worship you.
Lord.
Thank we you, worship Lord. You, Jesus. We love you so much, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God.
We exalt your holy
Thank
name,
you for
Jesus.
Your love.
You're glorious, Lord. You're
Bless
worthy
your
today.
Name, Jesus.
You're
we
worthy, Jesus.
We adore you, Lord God.
We send this you praise
need,
toward
Jesus.
Your holy temple, Jesus.
We lift you up and exalt
you. We worship
you.
Hallelujah,
Lord
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We
glory
worship you, Jesus.
You, Thank you,
All
Jesus.
Glory and honor to you, our King
Praise
Jesus.
Your holy name.
We worship you.
We love
you so much, Jesus. We glorify your name. We bless you. You alone are worthy, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
To be worshipped, to be glorified.
We magnify you.
You are our King.
We delight ourselves in
and unto you.
You
who sits on the
you
throne.
You are so wonderful,
unto
Jesus.
The Lamb. Be blessing and glory,
oh,
honor
glory
and power.
To you, Lord.
All the praise, Jesus.
All honor.
Because you're worthy.
Lord.
You are our God.
What a glorious
And through
King.
Our God, we shall do valiantly,
you,
Lord.
God.
It is you who has tread down the enemy. We sing and we shout the victory,
glory
Jesus.
Because
you are our King.
We lift you up, O God.
You are triumphant,
You are
Lord.
Our strength. You are our
You're everything we need, Lord.
You're
everything our heart longs
Lover
for,
of
Jesus.
Our soul, O God.
We love you so
Delight
much,
of
Lord.
Our heart.
Glory to you.
You're the apple of our
All
eye,
glory
Lord.
To you.
Hallelujah.
You're worthy.
And we're the apple of your
You'll
eye,
always
Father.
Be worthy, Jesus.
Thank
You're
you,
truly
Jesus.
Wonderful, Lord.
We are your sons and daughters.
And it is a good thing to give
you
thanks unto
God.
You, Lord.
We bless you.
We love you, Jesus. And we
Exalt
worship
you
this
forever,
morning.
Lord God.
We worship you, Jesus. We love you so much, Lord. We give you glory and
Thank
honor
you,
and
Father.
Praises. We love you, Jesus.
We're so privileged to worship
we worship you.
To bless you.
He said, Did I not say that if any man would come unto me and enter the door, behold, that he would enter into pastures, that he would go out and come in? For many places I desire to lay you down. Many places I desire to bring you to and increase your knowledge and increase your edification and increase the glory that you walk in. But know this, it'll not be the things that you don't know that will bring you in to the next level. It will be the things that you know and do at this level that will bring you in to another pastures and places of rest, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Mando carese me. Vediallo cote. For many run after things that are new and try to fill voids inside of them and yet have not taken up and done the things which on whatever level they came to that I was able to get across to them. And so disregarding or discarding those things and going on to seek other things will only bring in a place of delusionment and will cause those things which are of truth in those places only to be of a lesser value, but stand in this place and do the things that I have said. Pray in the Spirit and edify yourself often and magnify me. And know this, there is in itself that revives, and that which brings forth, and that which comes forth, and that which motivates and brings forth, that no man can come and motivate you to. I, my Spirit, bring forth these things by that which I've already placed within you, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah,
Jesus.
Manda kalosa.
Oh, I couldn't have said it. As I was walking by the truck, and Homer was sitting in there this morning, I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm just spending time praying in tongues." That's powerful. Because 50 years later or 2,000 years later, if you wanted to come up with some new kinds of something that He gave to you to get motivated, you'd just be trying to do it in yourself. If somebody's got to light your star-spangled banner to get you to go into Christ, then before it's over with, you'll get about 6 months down the road. Oh, I found something new. I found something new. Let me show you what. I mean, I know what we've learned was great in its day, but let me show you this new secret. It's a secret of a secret. But if it doesn't contain the weapons of His warfare, the things that He presented to the church to say, here's all you get, but it's enough to keep you motivated. If you lived 120 years, you'd still be a house of fire.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. You're more than
Hallelujah. 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 I glorify you, Jesus. And on this walk, the blind see.
Yes.
And the lame walk.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on, Gay.
Hallelujah.
Come on, Gay. Masakalaria Sani. I don't know where it's at. Let me get down here where I can say it. Immokalee's in revival.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Jesus, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
If you believe it, would you please stand and get ready
hallelujah,
to go into revival.
Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Father, we declare, we preach your gospel. We never settle for man's gospel. Only yours. It's the gospel that saves. The gospel that fills. The gospel that heals. And that's why we say, lost, be saved. Empty, be filled. Blind, see. Sick, be healed. Lame, walk. Deaf, hear. Dumb, speak. Maimed, be whole. Dead, live. In the name of Jesus. Father, that's your gospel. We settle for nothing less. We are going for the gold. We have what we say. And we say at every service, the lost are saved. People are filled with the Holy Ghost. The blind see. The lame walk. The deaf hear. The dumb speak. The maimed are made whole. And even the dead are raised. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. All manner of sickness and all manner of diseases are healed. First time, every time, all of them, no exceptions. Jesus, you healed them all then. You heal them all now. That's what we say. That's what we say. That's what we have. In your name, Jesus. Father, there are impartations of your Spirit in this place. We declare these are the most powerful, the most anointed, the most life-changing, the most revival-producing services in history. Fresh anointings, fresh giftings like never before. Father, it is you doing the works. Therefore, all things are possible. Soul, my soul, I command you, believe this. All things are possible. Believe this. Immokalee is in revival. Immokalee is in revival. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Offering buckets. They're somewhere in the building. The greatest thing that you'll ever come to is when you realize that how much He loves you, and that giving is right on the level. It's kind of like on the same level as your worship. You can twist somebody's arm and make them tell you you're bigger than them. You can make them tell you that you love them, that they love you. You can be mean and ugly and make people submit to you. But forced love is no love at all. It's your sweetie pie. If you force her into saying I love you and it's not genuine, you didn't get anything. I love you. Really. But the thing He loves most about worship is whether good times or bad, no matter what, you're able to just put everything else on the shelf and lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting and magnify Him and worship Him and love Him unconditionally, because that's how He loves you. Hallelujah. The biggest part of the church doesn't know Him per se yet. I'm believing that through revival and good teaching they'll come to know Him. The biggest part of the church knows Him as a convenience. But He just loves you that much, He'll show up on convenience. Like, I got to because I got to get rid of this disease, or I got to get rid of this depression, or the family's falling apart, so I'll call on Him, I'll call on Him. Here's the thing about God. Even when you're telling Him how much you love Him, in the trial that you're going through, He can look into those places way down deep in your heart and know whether or not if the trial was off of you and everything was just perfectly, you know, hunky-dory, how much you'd really be cranking out and perpetuating that praise. It's like, you know, telling your husband, I love you, 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 until Arnold shows up at the door, or Brad Pitt, that'd probably be the better one. And then, who are you, hubby? I'm leaving. But for years you're saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. You're just the greatest thing it's ever been. You're beautiful, beautiful. And another opportunity. See, but He knows. He can look inside of you and tell when you're just crying and saying, I love you, I love you, how much if the test was off. if you'd still be doing that. But you know what? This is how much He loves us. He'll receive that praise, knowing it's second hand, knowing a biggest part of it is to try to help you get out of what you're going through. But you know, when you reach those first days of agape, when you just forget about trying to survive or get out of the trial, but you're able to lift your hands and just say, I love You because You're Abba. And I want to get to know You. I want this adventure to go further than just needs. A need-based relationship, that's all it is. It's a need-based relationship. Well, the most part of the body of Christ is also on that line with their giving also. Because they are hoping that some way that if they give, that He'll somehow come and supply something that they're needing. Never knowing this, that everything they needed was according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It began in a place of intimacy with Him, and then it perpetuated itself onto the outward limbs, that if there were places in your life that were lack, like in finances and stuff, it really had nothing to do with whether or not you could write out a big check or supply something so that He could come in some, like, that sounds like contract stuff. This isn't a business. It's a family. It's a family. It's not even, we can talk about armies and soldiers and we can talk about that. And use it, Paul even used it as an analogy to help you get a real fix on who was trying to kill you and destroy you. But when it really boils down to it, it's a family. And in a family, forced love is no love at all. You can tan their little fannies while they're little, but when they get to a place where they're going to love you or not love you, you can know this. Forced love is no love at all. And if He has to tell you from somebody standing in a pulpit, now, God will get you out of this thing if you'll come and give. Or if He has to tell you, God's going to curse you if you don't give. Sounds like somebody is pulling rank. The person who receives it from that manner, if he got $1 million, he's still not blessed of God. That blessing didn't come from God. And the person who gave it on that basis, my God, I mean, we got to do something around here. We got to give something big so we can get God's attention. They should have kept it. They should have kept it. Because now He's not mad at them. He just cries and says, I wish you knew me. I wish you knew me better than that. I wish you and I had been walking together. And you'd know that as a father, the best way I can possibly come and get something over to you is how much you trust me. And that comes through a place of rapport. Father, You are my Father. And I love You and I worship You. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it never ceases to amaze me. And this year, how He's met all of our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So it's on that basis I come before You. Release that grace on you. So now, Father, we thank You and praise You. These and beyond. And we receive this by Your grace. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to give this and we're going to greet one another. But don't go anywhere. Because He's going to talk to you about unanswered prayer. And if any of you have ever had any unanswered prayer, you need to stick around and find out why. Okay, hallelujah. Let's all stand. Thank You, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You. I want to remind you that Jason Hamlin is coming. Tara's not coming. She's not going to be able to make it. And he will be here not next Sunday, but the following Sunday. That is January 10th through the 13th. During one of the services at the prayer center in Tulsa, at this last conference, the Holy Spirit spoke to me to
to have Jason, and I was able to, I was a few seats away from him and knelt down in front of him during a break and asked him to come. And he is very busy and he is very anointed, and you're going to enjoy him a whole lot. Hallelujah. So I'm going to ask you to continue to pray. And I apologize on my behalf for him that I don't even know where to begin to tell you what you're never going to hear anybody that has any more life and is a just an electrical wire for Jesus Christ, and not a facade, but a genuine power flow of excitement. He has a very powerful, he and his wife, a very powerful, large feeding program that they feed thousands in Tulsa. But when he's not doing that, and most of the time he is traveling all over the world, and he has no major sponsors. For many years, Starbucks was sponsoring his feeding program. And since I don't think that's that they're any longer or no longer involved, but his travels, as I said a few weeks ago, usually take him into different parts of the Middle East, and very, very, very dangerous situations. He's one of those guys that he's been around long enough that he knows how to, by the Holy Spirit, to work himself out of some really tough situations. He's not one of those traveling guys that most people, once they hear what his normal trip is like, that people don't flood him to ask him, "Can I go with you on one of your next outings?" He's had to leave people behind that were arrested because they did not follow proper protocol. He's had people that have acted a little bit silly in front of governments and people that just they got nabbed, they got back, they got out, they got away, they're back. But you'll be interested to hear what he walks in power. That's the greatest thing. Hallelujah. So be praying for Jason Hamlin to come. Praise you, Father, for this opportunity. Lord, we just release your grace. I pray for everyone that's praying for me right now. I pray that their prayers for me will increase, Father, as mine for them. Lord, I pray for the intercessors, those who will lay down their life, that their life is not consumed by their own life, but even while they're fighting their own spiritual battles, that they're so choosing to lift up people around them, and those that will go in and fight a battle alongside and win. And Father, we just thank you this morning for grace and truth that came through Jesus Christ. And this is our hope, and this is our tomorrow, this is our today. We love you, Jesus, and we are so thankful for the very person of the Holy Spirit that you sent to lead and guide us into all truth. I can do nothing of myself, Father, but all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. A couple of weeks ago, we started a series. We don't necessarily go at something to say we need a series, but I can tell pretty quickly, based on the mega load of the content. And again, today we're only going to be able to, it's still introducing, really still introducing. And I'm going to reiterate a few of the things that I said before. And it's not because we need to, as the politician would say, filibuster and say things over and over again so you'd have content. We have mega loads of content here to get over to you, but we have to bring you up just a little bit to speed to where we were at 2 weeks ago. And then we had a Christmas service last week. We'll have one more week that we probably, unless he changes it next week, we'll teach on this. And then Jason will be here the following week. It's very important for me. It's very important for you to live in a place where our prayers are always answered. Whether they are presently, and I don't know of a soul that I could look at and say every single one, all the time, at all places, at all times, every grace line, every petition, everything, not even the fathers that I look at and admire so much in the Spirit are yet in that place. But I do know one that wants us to believe that that is attainable, because without that being part of who we are and believing that those things are attainable, then we never ever will begin in and of themselves to attain them. We'll always stay in a place where enough is enough. As the old timers used to say, hit, lick, and miss. If it comes to pass, you know, so be it. I'm going to pray a bunch of them. Shooting a bunch of prayers at God is just that, just shooting a bunch of prayers. And hoping that a few of them get answered is not true faith. But true faith stands on a place of certainty, and I hope that we get over into at least the groundwork of where prayers are truly answered, because prayers being answered do not depend. They do not depend on God. They depend on you. They depend on me. Well, He's the one answering them, Pastor. According to His will, when Jesus said, "It is finished," it was finished. And in that, you will find, beginning from the old to the new, in everything of the shadow, every petition that you could possibly pray is not to ask Him, "Will you do it?" It is to set into effect what He's already done. Everything in healing, everything in miracles, everything in prosperity, everything in deliverance, it is actually, listen, He doesn't get mad at you. He's a father. He just knows that you haven't quite learned how to pray. When you begin to say, "Father, will you do this? I'm asking you, will you heal this person now?" Will you? That is of itself a prayer out of context. It's a misnomer. It's missaid. Whether you do or don't believe it that way, it is wrong to pray it that way. In effect, when you lay your hands on a sick child and say, "Father, I'm asking you, will you heal this child now? I'm asking you, will you heal?" He has already, everything that He is has already been emptied out through Jesus Christ. And for you to ask Him, would it come from Him, is in effect asking Him to do something again. What you may not think it like this. You may say, "No, I never ever mean it like this. I know it." But until you change that wrong thinking, you'll always be asking Him to come, and your prayers are going to be hindered just by the pretense by which you're asking, because your asking says something about your doctrine that you believe. You're asking Him to come and do something. It's already been done. Jesus did not ask the Father when He was healing the sick. He released what was already in Him. And now that we have become little Jesuses on the earth, we're not asking Him to come and do this. We're setting into effect and saying, "In Jesus' name, arise and be healed. In Jesus' name, I curse the sickness. In Jesus' name, I command you, come out in the name of Jesus." For us to sit and talk and say, "Father, will you?" He says, I already have. So when you're asking, you're trying to get something, you're already backing up, because you're setting yourself in a disposition of whether you're innocent or not. He judges you maybe as innocent, but still the power can't get over to you. People will say, "Well, I was innocent." I know you are, sweetheart. The only thing is, your innocence won't make up. It won't make up. Millions of pounds of innocence won't make up for wrong believing. And it won't get the miracle done. And you'll sit there and cry and moan and be so heartbroken that God didn't do it, when in all reality, He wants to infix you with something to realize that it's already been done. I am an ambassador, and now I stand. I don't ask Him to come and heal this person. I say in Jesus' name, I'm releasing what you've already done. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise be to God. Amen. Praise be to God. Well, you're being quite technical. No, I'm telling you what you've got to do and the mindsets that you've got to break, that we all have to break. I'm going to listen to Him. There's other scripture in front of this to be read. But let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're the teacher. You set everything into context. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, this is coming right off the end of the chapter 11 with a tremendous expose of all the different people that went in front of us. And they were Old Testament characters, by the way. None of them filled with the Holy Ghost. They just believed what God said and acted on it. And when it gets to chapter 12, he's still talking about the same subject. He's named Moses and Sarah and Jephthah and Abraham, and he's Samson and a whole bunch of other, David, the giant killer, just a whole bunch, a litany of powerful people in the Old Testament. And he says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," meaning these laid a groundwork for us. It doesn't mean, now this is being technical, but it's the truth. They're not in a grandstand in heaven looking, watching, waiting. It means that their testimony has already been delivered, and it stands as a memorial in chapter 11 forever on planet Earth. And this cloud of witnesses that they witnessed and left as a memorial, we're compassed about with that. So us, the New Testament, and Family Prayer Center of Immokalee, let us lay aside every weight and sin, and the sin, and we've ministered on that before in the past, very powerful, which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now this is the part, or the scripture that I wanted to come to in reading this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Again, verse 2, beginning that first phrase, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, who's the author and finisher of your faith? Easy. Pastor Bront? Dave Roberson? Some other great man or woman of faith that you know has had answered prayer. See, so oftentimes this is what we'll do. We will draw a doctrine based on people around us. Well, I've seen that man, whew, Lord God, I've seen that man raise the dead, heal the sick. I've seen that woman man, God, you're talking about a walking prayer person and getting things done. And I don't understand this, because they prayed over that and it didn't happen. So what happens when they make those statements, or when we make those statements, somewhere, if we're not careful, a program begins by which the enemy slips in a very subtle and a unique way and says, okay, they're not looking unto Jesus. Appreciate. He gives us a whole chapter to appreciate a whole bunch of powerful people. Appreciate people in the church that pray. Appreciate godly women that are mothers of faith. Appreciate men that are fathers of the faith. Appreciate them. Give them homage and say, I want to be like them. We taught a series on being examples. But the author and the finisher of your faith is the one that you look at, and his name is Jesus Christ. And if on this journey you stop somewhere and say, I don't know, they're one of the ones I'd like to be like, and yet they didn't get their prayer answered, then the subliminal program begins inside of you that says,
maybe it's not God's will, or at least if you don't say that when you go to this difficult situation and you're invited to walk into a difficult situation and release the power of God, and it may be new to you, and yet you know God has sent you, or somebody is standing there saying, pray for me, I've got cancer in this part of my body, or I've got this, or I've got that, and you say, I've never prayed for that, but my God, I've been watching God work in my life. Then the enemy will come. And if you don't think he won't come, he comes. And he comes in hidden under the skies of, here he comes in. You don't recognize him because he's cloaked in your own thoughts. He comes to church. He comes in prayer lines. Has he ever been in one of your prayer lines, Pastor? Forget about it. Your faith walk is a choice continually. Every time you lay your hands on, it's a choice to guard yourself, garrison yourself, and say, I'm looking unto Him, the author and the finisher of my faith. Because otherwise, if you stop at one person and the enemy knows you've stopped there, he will bring that instance up to your mind and say, well, Pastor Dave prayed for a person like this and they died. How are you going to be any more effective in their life at this given point? You'll go ahead and minister the prayer, God, in Jesus' name, when all the time you're dividing your energy of faith by not reconciling at some point in your life. There's only one man, there's only one woman, there's no woman, but there's only one man that I've set in front of me. His name is Jesus. He did it. This is the way He did it. And how did He do it? Was there, now if there's ever a point, and if any fundamentalist, unfundamentalist, Pentecostal, anybody can come and show me out of this word, not out of the Quran, not out of the Book of Mormons, not out of any other testament, but out of these, because this is the one the Holy Spirit testifies to me and says, this is the canon. I stopped right here. John says, every man that has him has the witness in himself. And I have a witness that these 66 books, when I hold them, the Holy Spirit says, you got everything I wanted you to have. There's not another New Testament. There's nothing else. Now, I'm going to look unto Him because I'm trying through intimacy to believe this. There's no man that I stop at. Well, who are you to get above? I'm not trying to get above anybody, but I'm telling you, Dave Roberson, Bronk Flint, Candy, Barbara, anybody in this room or any other great man of God that you may be reading about right now that's having phenomenal miracles, let me tell you something. I'm not looking unto them because there may be some times where they get to a place and they say, I prayed my best shot and it happened 10 times before. I don't know what happened now. And we leave it in that place like, that's the land of Oz. Or it's Never Never Land. It's the place where Peter Pan goes. It's Never Never Land. I don't know. I don't understand. Let me tell you something. Jesus had not just some of His prayers answered. He had all of His prayers answered all the time, all day long. Hallelujah. Let's turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 11. This is when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Look at verse 34. And said, this is Jesus asking, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have caused even this man, should he have not died, should not have died? See, they were guessing too, you know. They were thinking, we don't know why this happened. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, and this is, he's in an intercession. The Holy Spirit inside of him is beginning to intercede. Cometh to the grave,
And it was a cave, and the stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." And Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know, now look at this, I know that thou hearest me always." Hallelujah. "But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had said this, he cried, "Lazarus, come forth." Hallelujah. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Hallelujah. See, this is him. And this is what he says, Paul says in Ephesians, or in Hebrews 12:2, you're supposed to be looking at him. And this is the conscience that he had, the consciousness that he had in his prayer life, is that he's stepping up to call a man out of the grave that's been there 4 days. And he says in front of these, he prays this prayer. He says, "Father, I thank you that you do always hear me." Now, he didn't say, "God, give me the power to do this." He just said, "I thank you that you do always hear me." And clause on this, "Father, I didn't even have to say that. But because of these who stand around about me, I want them to know that you and I are in constant communication. I said this for this whole crowd to know that you and I, that you always..." See, the first place of answered prayer, and believe me, this is going to answer why there's unanswered prayer, is a place of infinite, never-ending confidence that your Father is always, at all times, in communion and desires to be never cut off from the most intimate to the most mega kinds of challenges that you could face. See, if you're not communing, Jesus was communing with his Father all the time, and we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He gets to the mega challenge, which to him was not, but to me, 4 days dead is a mega challenge. It's a mega challenge. But because in all of the other intricate little things, that no matter what he says in his heart, he knows he's communing with the Father, and the Father, this is where answered prayer, you'll never, ever, 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 ever walk a consistent power life by having no communion over here and then walking into big situations and saying, "I'm going to take control." Why? Because your heart will sell you out. Your heart will be at a point of disbelief, even though you don't believe that it will. And I can prove that to you and will in just a moment. But where we're headed over the next few weeks is, as I said the other day, what is this place? And does this place truly exist? And I think from an academic standpoint, we can say, yes, it does. Not all prayers are always answered, but God wants them always answered if they are the right kind of prayers. And we'll spell out what the right kind of prayers are, because they're not magical. They're not novelties. They're not certain things that men fixate on things and say, okay, we found a clue. We found a Blue's Clues. This movie I've seen, The National Treasury, where it goes from one clue to the next. It's not based on clues. It's not based on a secret code of numbers. It's not based on a calendar day. It's not something turning over. Listen, it's based on fellowship. Because relationship has been restored. I am a son. You are a daughter. and we can go into our Father, and He doesn't care about numbers. He doesn't care about calendar days. He cares about you. And when He gets you, you can walk in, because you're always sitting on His lap. You can walk into the most difficult situations and then see an increasal of everything. You may be, I don't know where I'm at. I do not testify myself. I would be a fool if I did. But your life should be, if it's 30% of your prayers being answered, it should be of the gravity of your life should be 30, 60, because we're headed to a place where if you were able to write down, you would say, "My God." I'm not sure where those other 20% is escaping to right now, and I hope this over the next few weeks helps. But it is my desire, not of a legalistic mindset, but as of a fellowship, to say it is of His desire that we walk in a mentality that every prayer prayed is answered all the time. Hallelujah, Jesus. And the prerequisite of that in Jesus Christ was He said, "Father, I'm always in Your presence." Old prayers answered, the speed of new prayers. I want the speed of my new prayers answered. When we get a little further along, we're going to answer something like, why did something I prayed 10 years ago automatically happen? Was it God just chose at that time? No. No. Okay, last week or 2 weeks ago, we started with this, and He wants me to, I had intention of this, but I'm reminded now, on this place of confidence, because that's what it's really based on, your confidence in Him. He said, go back to this simple scripture here. It's in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now this is Jesus talking here, and He's talking about end time events and staying strong all the way to the end. And He says in verse 28, and we're not teaching on this part, though we'll comment by the grace of God. And fear not them which kill the body. So he's talking about man. Don't fear man. But are not able to kill the soul. Now I'll clarify this, so don't misconstrue it. But rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. He's not saying fear the devil. He's not. Some preachers you'll hear, "Oh, no." Stay in context. Stay in context. Don't take anything out of context. He's talking about your Father here. And He's talking about the fear that David had when he loved his Father and he worshiped Him, but he feared Him. See, if you fear God, you won't fear man. And there's only one that's able to cast into hell. The devil can't cast into hell. He's not the one that says, "That's it. I'm making the judgment on this. You're going to hell." No. The one who says the last say-so of where you will be is the Heavenly Father. But He's not talking about a fear here that's a demonic fear. He's talking about a reverential fear that says, "Look, I got a choice here. Either I'm going to cower down and go with man, or I'm going to reverence You. And Father, if I love You and reverence You, then I'm going to stand around and I'm going to stand back up to man and say, 'Okay, what are you going to do? Kill me? You mean that's your best shot? That is all you can do is kill me? Golly, I thought based on the way you were acting bad, I thought you were acting like you could cast me into eternal damnation. But since you can't do that, and I'm serving the one that can and controls my whole life, poo-poo on you. You can't control my life with fear." Hallelujah to Jesus. Fear not them. And He says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father basically seeing it. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. The very hairs, and we said a few weeks ago, a lot of fun have been made of that, and it's okay to some degree. But I said something a few weeks ago that as I was meditating this again, the Holy Spirit corrected me. It wasn't a rebuke. It was just a correction. Because this is what I said. And I had some religion in there. We're always getting those religious things coming out. Because the more we fall in love with Him, and more we read Scripture in the light of loving Him and who He is, because this whole thing is about your Father. This whole thing is about your Father. And I said, your Father loves you so much. This is where your confident level of prayer must go. Like Jesus, He follows you around all the time. So when you get to the mega places, you say, Father, I'm always in contact with you. So what's a blind eye? What's a deaf ear? What's a dead person laying in the grave four days or 4 months? If you've told me to do it, and I do it. And in Jesus' name, here now, as little Jesus is, I raise them up. And I said, that confident level is what we have to walk in for our prayers to be answered. And here's the beginning stages of it, is to understand this was Jesus trying to get something of simplicity over to you. That, and this is the way I conveyed it, that somewhere, somehow, God has got a creature that is keeping some kind of toll. He's got them written down, the very number of the hairs of your head. I don't know where that starts. I don't know if it's 2 inches down neckline, 1 inch up. I don't know. God's concluded all that. But I know He knows every one of His children, and He's trying to say to them, look, if I know this, how much more will I get intricately involved in your life? And this was the misnomer. The misnomer was this. The way I said it was, He's got an angel somewhere. And the Holy Spirit said, I didn't say I had an angel. I didn't say I had an angel. I said, your Father is keeping track. He's not a surrogate father. He's not one who's ruling over you via somebody else. He is in the first person of the Holy Spirit looking over you and say, I don't have to have an angel come and report to me. Oh, they've got 10,583. Oh, just took a shower and combed their hair. Two less. He Himself is watching over you, and He Himself, Father, do you know how many hairs I have? Yes, and it's not reported to me by somebody else. I know you face to face. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. I know you face to face. Therefore, when I'm wanting to build in this repertoire on the inside of you, that you step up and say, I cannot fail. He knows the very hairs on my head. In Jesus' name, I tell you, come out of this man. I said this before, and I'll say it again. Not always. Because sometimes I can feel it, and I have to express it, because it would be disobedience to do anything else. But sometimes, and I believe stands true to so many, the multiplicity of words. This is where we taught a couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday night. It was a very powerful word, and I would admonish you to get it. It's the word, the rhema word. It's the sword of the Spirit. And if you'll follow that through Jesus' ministry, and we picked out the rhema word, and we picked it out through the blind eyes, the deaf, the dumb, the lame, the demoniac. And most of the time, that rhema word, it's not this word. This is the logos. The rhema is that pronounced right on the moment coming out of this word. And many times, all it was go! And it was the sword of the Spirit, and pshew! And it did something. My lack of fellowship many times will interpret out to a multiplicity of words in my prayers. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm asking you, Lord, Father, and I mean 10 minutes later, you're just, oh God, in the name of Jesus, and I'm saying, Father, and you're the one. I find out the more that I know Him, the more it's able. There's something inside of me that steps forward with a confident level and saying, right now. And many times I find that before I can even say His name, It's done. Devils do not respond to multiplicity of words. They don't respond to exposés of 97,000 words. Words in and of themselves mean nothing. It's the power flow through a confident level. I've been with Him. And when you get with Him and been with Him, you're cheap on words. You're small on words, but mega on power. And you step up and say, now. Stop. Go. Be opened. I receive. We make up with words what we don't have in intimacy. Not to incriminate anybody, but have you ever sat down at dinner tables and heard prayers and you're saying, oh God, and the people are saying, my God, this is a prayer person. No, and I'm thinking, oh God, they haven't been in their prayer closet. Good God, let's eat in Jesus' name.
For many of you will walk in this place of power. Because the thing that is of a great necessity is desire. But you'll find desire coming upon you more and more and more as you go into me, saith the Spirit of grace. Do not hinder this, but court it. Romance it. Find that I'll come to you at the most, what seems to be most inconvenient moments. That you'll be riding down the road or talking with a friend. And you'll find that inside of you, you're wanting to steal away into places of intimacy. Know this, that this is the prelude. It is the place that I court you with to say, come over here where grace and power is found. On an everyday basis, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand with me? We just probably just touched where we're going in the next few weeks. But are you glad for what God's doing? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh. Well, Kathy, why don't you give us a song to just worship with? Get ready to go out of here today. Hallelujah, Jesus. I worship you. Hallelujah, Jesus. I glorify you. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. One thing you wanted me to remind you of, and this is where we'll go, and you suspect it anyway. You guys have been around for a while. You know, part of this whole lesson is this. The prayer that always gets answered. You do get one prayer that always 100% of the time gets answered. And you may not realize it or not. And it's the one that's being built up so you can eventually pray prayers in Spanish or English and get all them answered. But the one that always gets answered is the one that pola clefrimans jete. It is the perfect prayer. And it comes from a place that cannot fail. So don't short yourself on praying in tongues. Hallelujah. Pray in the Spirit. He said, when you do not know how to pray as you ought, He prays. He's the one that's going to answer why they're not have not got through. But He really, that's going to be a place of where He wants to take you past, where you're not worried about the ones that didn't get through. He wants to take you to a place where all of them are getting through. And He'll show you that place. He'll show it to you if you utter the mysteries long enough. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. All things are by Your grace. I can't tell you how much I'm in love with You, Abba. At the end of this year, I want to be more in love. So I'm asking that You'll not only take me in, but everybody on this journey with me, beginning at my household and all those around me in this body. We speak Your life and grace. We release Your grace over them to cover, to keep them, and provide Your blessings, Your healing power, and all of everything we are in Christ, and bring us back thirsty to celebrate this new year coming in. And Lord, we release the blessings of God over this day in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.